I'm Risa Williams, and this is The Motivation Mindset. And today we have a special segment of the show called The Brain Boost, where I break down neuroscience nuggets for you and answer questions from listeners of the show. Joining me today as co-host is my friend and fellow therapist, Erica Curtis, who will help me answer questions as well as provide some brain-boosting tips of her own. So welcome back, Erica. Thanks so much for coming on the show again.
Oh, it's so good to be back with you, Risa.
Today on The Brain Boost, Erica and I will be talking about color and how to use color as a way to both soothe yourself during the day, as well as to help you stay organized and focused on what you need to do. So Erica, you're an artist and you're also an art therapist. Why don't we start with the subject of color, and you can tell us how we can use color more effectively in everyday life.
So what I find really interesting about color is that there's a lot of sort of popular beliefs out there about how certain colors influence our moods or our behaviors. And there's advice about what colors you should or shouldn't paint certain rooms, or what colors you should look at in order to boost your mood or, you know, calm down. But yeah, what I find really interesting about the research about color is that it really gets down to personal preference.
Yeah, I even find that with clothes. Some days you just don't want to wear the color blue.
That's right.
It does not seem like a good color.
Yeah.
Other days it seems great.
Right. And what's interesting is that sometimes depending on what our colors are paired with changes how we feel about them. So even your favorite color, if you see something associated with that color that you dislike or that you're sort of repelled by, then suddenly in that moment, and maybe even for the rest of the day, that color might not be something that you're really resonating with in a pleasant or positive way.
Right. Our brains are so complicated in this way that we're constantly forming new brain associations. And sometimes we're doing it not very consciously, but I think there's ways to do it where you're deliberately making those associations. So do you have any tricks for that?
Really glad that you brought up the idea of association, right? Because that's what we do a lot as therapists, is we create new associations for people and we help them identify pleasant or positive associations that they already have, or motivating associations that they have, and where things have been sort of misassociated or associated in a way that isn't working for the client or the individual. Then we try to create new associations. And I guess maybe it'd be helpful to define association. It's really a pairing, right? It's a pairing in brain that we, when we see this or think of this, then it pairs with a certain belief or feeling that then gets evoked in that situation.
It's almost like a coding language for your brain's computer, right? So we're picking different things and they equal each other, and we're hoping to get that to stick in a positive way or to form a new habit that works for you as therapist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So an example of that is when I'm driving, I've created an association with stop signs and checking in with my thoughts. So if I'm thinking about or sort of chewing on an idea that isn't really feeling creative or going anywhere in that moment, when I'm driving and I stop at a stop sign, that cues my brain to check in. Where is your mind at right now? And are you burning energy in an unproductive way? Or are you having creative and helpful thoughts? And if I'm not, so for example, let's say I put on the music or the podcast that I wanted to listen to in the car, and I realize I've driven halfway to work and I haven't listened to any of it, right? That would be a good example of, oh, that stop sign cues me to check in. And I go, wow, I'm not present. I'm not paying attention. And then to bring it back to color, what I do is I look at the sky. And the sky where I live is often blue. And so that beautiful expanse of blue color helps me to take a deep breath. And then I can clear my mind and refocus on the music or on the podcast that I was wanting to listen to anyway. So I've created multiple associations there.
I think it's so cool that you said that. And I know we talked about this a little bit when you were on the show talking about mind modes.
Exactly.
But when you said it, I thought to myself, I can't believe someone else does this, because I actually have a tool that I call the traffic light meditation, where when I had this 2-hour commute previously from my last job, and I'd have to go on many freeways and then many, many stoplights. And I noticed as I was driving, my stress would get really high. Driving for me in traffic
generally increases my stress in Los Angeles. And my shoulders would be tense. So I noticed at the stoplight, I thought, well, every time I'm at a red light, I'm going to take a long, deep breath and say, breathing in, breathing out. So when you said I'm breathing in the blue, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Erica does that too. So there's actually a study by the Malaysian Medical Journal in 2013 that talks about how colors produce a higher level of attention, increase memory. And what they specifically found was that warm colors, yellow, red, and orange specifically, had a greater effect on our attention than cooler colors like brown and gray. But like you said, it kind of just depends on your brain and your mood. This was a study over lots of people that they tested. So it's a generalized study. But again, I think what you're saying is true, that you have to pick the ones that work for you.
You know, we pay attention when we see a red light, right? That's a very strong, or a red stop sign. It's a very strong association that we have. Oh, red, red fire trucks, red, you know, alarms or like lights, you know, going on police cars. You know, that red has very strongly in our culture been associated with sort of like stop, pay attention, what's going on. And so I think that sort of thinking about and trying out, for example, like a red post-it or a brightly colored post-it, or I know you have another really fun activity, Risa, that I really connected to, where I believe you had a red dish to put your keys. Is that right?
So it's called the color coder, and it came from my work with adults with ADHD who were telling me they were forgetting their phones, where their phones were, misplacing their keys. But also, I think this just applies to chronically busy people who are rushing around, and also sleep-deprived parents. Because I know when I was a mom of two little babies, when my kids were babies and they were never sleeping, I was always losing my sunglasses and phone. So I came up with a solution that involved finding a red dish, placing it by the door, and making the brain association that red equals stop. Like, put things in the dish, stop and do it. And I tried it out with clients with their phones, and it seemed to work really well because generally, like you said, in Western culture, the idea of red means stop. What are you doing? Remember to do the thing.
Right. And we can build off of associations that we already have. And so we can experiment also when I'm working with clients in the office to use color for usually soothing activities. You know, we kind of play around, like look around this room right now. What color catches your eye? And that's really helpful too, to just practice on your own. You could even do it right now while you're listening to this podcast, whether you're driving or sitting in a room. Just take a moment right now and look around your environment and see what color catches your eye in this moment, right? And then once you find something that is pleasant or pleasing to look at, or even I'll tell my clients neutral. And when I say neutral, I don't mean like beige. I mean, it can be beige or brown or taupe, but neutral in terms of evoking a neutral feeling, that sometimes people feel so chaotic inside or so shut down inside that the idea of anything looking pleasant or pleasing feels like such a stretch. Yeah. But just to find a color in your environment that doesn't feel positive or negative, because that helps our nervous system to start to just remember what it feels like to be in a more neutral state, right? And we're giving our nervous system that sensory feedback through the eyes, through focusing on a color that's giving us information that says, huh, okay, maybe it's all right in this moment. Maybe I'm okay.
Yeah, I like the idea of finding a neutral setting, because sometimes when we're overstimulated, you know, looking at an intense color in one direction or the other is almost too much for our brain to process. And in a way, you're cleaning the slate. You're saying like, okay, just find something that almost feels boring in a calming way so that I can reset myself and then look for things that please me more. So that's a great way to find the middle, you know?
Well, you know, and that reminds me of, you know, when schools were online, when, you know, pervasively, when all schools sort of went online. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to some of my clients with ADHD, high school students, college students, and they were talking about how difficult it was to figure out what the assignments were and how to focus on doing them. And so I remember one day asking a client to show me the website where she was accessing the material. And I took one look at it and I felt overstimulated because there were so many colors and flashing lights and graphics. And I thought, wow, you know, this teacher was really trying to make this stimulating. And for a lot of folks, I imagine it was overstimulating.
Right. So you can overdo it with color as well, because probably our brains can only hold a few associations at a time with color. And I imagine if you have 12 colors and it's all different subjects and things, it might be too much sometimes when you're already feeling stressed.
Absolutely. I agree. So the solution to that was we ended up, you know, having her print out her, you know, her assignments so that she could just see them in plain black and white. Uh-huh. And then if she wanted to use a single colored highlighter, then she could go in and sort of bring her own aesthetic, her own color association in a way through using highlighters.
That's a great idea. So in that way, she's doing her own custom tailored approach where she's picking colors that are going to make her brain remember more.
Exactly.
So something for listeners to think about is what colors make you stop and remember? What colors grab your attention and get you focused? And what colors make you feel calm and relaxed or neutral, as Erica says? The important thing is to play around with this idea of using color. Have fun with it. You know, start coloring in your calendar blocks. I know I do that with time blocking. So I have clients in one color, writing in another color, self-care in a color that means self-care to me. Different colored storage containers too. I had a client who used a red tray to stop and remember to pay bills, and then a green tray for mail going out. So whatever works to organize things better for your brain. It's all about creating a positive brain association, right?
Absolutely. And if you want to sort of add another layer of fun and experimentation, I've also at times suggested to clients that they stop by the paint store and just grab a bunch of those little cardboard.
Ooh, the swatches.
Colors,
I love those.
Swatches. And you can have so much fun with those, even you know, taping those onto things, or, you know, I was thinking when you were describing the trays, you know, I was thinking about my trays at home, and mine are just wood and they're stacked up and they all look the same. And I was thinking, oh, what a great idea to differentiate them.
Yeah. I find that if you're a busy person who's moving around really quickly, even looking at a tray or looking at your calendar and all you see are the blocks of time in pink or blue or whatever, you don't even need so much time to read it. Your brain automatically goes, okay, I know what I need to do next. And as Erica and I discussed in the last episode she was on, we were talking about mind modes. This can be a way to use color coding and mind modes together. So mind modes were switching in and out of different mental gears, so to speak, right? So if you have, you know, work mode versus rest mode, if you're putting those in different blocks of color on your calendar, now you're cementing that brain association even more for yourself. You're creating even more of a firm time parameter in your own brain that, okay, 6 o'clock comes, now I'm in rest mode, or now I'm in, you know, go for a run mode or whatever.
I think visually also it helps us to get a sense of balance in our week.
Yeah.
I know my calendar, I use a Google calendar and I color code my work. That's one of my modes, work mode, right? Versus self-care mode versus kid mode, right? When I'm parenting or taking my kids here and there. And for me also, you know, two things occur. One is that I feel less overwhelmed. If it was all in one color, I would go, oh, my week looks so busy, right?
Because And you get mixed up. It's easy to forget stuff. You forget the lunch appointment you have with somebody because it's in pink like everything else, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And when they're in different colors and I can see, oh, okay, like this feels more balanced to my mind now. It's not just all these red things happening on one day, but like, oh, there's some work there. There's some kids stuff there. There's a little break there. There's some self-care time there. And then it just feels, even though it's as many activities or tasks, it feels much more balanced on the inside. And, you know, I think we talked in our last episode together too, Risa, about teaching kids these strategies. You know, I have a middle schooler right now and we are in the, and I know you do too. And
yeah.
We are in the depths of trying to help him learn organizational skills.
Yeah. And so much of it is online for them now. It used to be papers they were dragging home. Now it's like they're on Google Drive all the time with their different assignments and things like this.
Which really comes with its own challenges. It's,
yeah.
I kind of long for the days of papers and physical color-coded folders.
Well, sometimes that's easier for them because they're like, okay, I'm done. I put the done pages in the red homework file that goes back to the teacher. And now it's all online. So a lot of them are having trouble processing what's due, what did I finish, where does it go, did I turn it in, did I click send to teacher?
That's right. Because as soon as they close the tab, it's gone, right? They don't see it. It's out of sight, out of mind. And their brains that are still very much developing the executive functioning skills of organization and planning and multitasking and working memory of, oh, even though I don't see that this is on the computer screen, I can still remember that I need to go back to that and submit it.
Yeah.
And they just really don't have those skills yet. And so I think going back to things like Post-its and color coding, you know, even with different colored Post-its, like you were mentioning before, really important to teach kids these skills early because they are skills and a lot of people don't learn them young, which is why we all try to figure out our own hacks as we get older.
So many adults struggle with this as well because all your work tasks are on the computer or on your phone or on Slack or here or there. And sometimes I just have clients have a regular notebook and they write out the tasks and they color them or they highlight them. So whatever you can do to help your brain remember, that'll work best for you. So I hope Erica and I have inspired you to sprinkle in some color to your everyday schedules and tasks and things you need to do. And now to finish off this episode, we have a question from a listener of the show. It's actually from Dulcie Yamanaka, who is a TimeLab participant on episode 6, which was all about journaling. And Dulcie tested out journaling tools from episode 2 with Mike Sonskin, and she really liked those tools. But she was telling me on the show that she really struggles to write her feelings down on paper. And I didn't have a lot of time to answer that particular question. So after the show, she sent me this question.
Hi, my name is Dulcie, and I was on the TimeLab episode about journaling, and I have a question for Risa. Can you suggest some ways on how to journal if we feel uncomfortable writing about our feelings?
We were laughing on the show because she was saying, you know, when you're kids, you have a lock on your diary, but when you're a grown-up, you don't have the lock. And she felt like writing down, I'm feeling so sad or unhappy, and then having someone possibly read that. It was a general paranoia that kept her from writing, but she actually really wanted to learn how to write her feelings down in a way that she could not feel paranoid. So do you have any tips?
Yeah, absolutely. A couple things come to mind. One is to create more structure and to work with metaphor. And so a poem structure that comes to mind is a haiku, which is simply a 3-line poem. And the first line has 5 syllables, the second line has 7 syllables, and then the third line again has 5 syllables. And what I find a lot of people who I work with enjoy about this format is one, to address the question, we really are using very few words to capture our emotion. And so, you know, if somebody were to read it or see it, they would just see it as a poem, right? And they might not even understand what it's about.
I like that. It's short and sweet, and it's almost like creating your own code for yourself of what that emotion was like to experience. So thanks so much, Erica, for guest hosting this Brain Boost episode. I always have so much fun talking to you, and you always provide so many fun tips. I hope you had fun today.
Thanks, Risa. Sure did.
If you're interested in learning more about Brain Boost episodes, please visit risawilliams.com. And now to announce the winner of our double book giveaway on Instagram. Congratulations to Gladys Moongia of Los Angeles. We'll be sending you a copy of the Ultimate Time Management Toolkit by me and Art Therapy Activities for Kids by Erica. And I hope you'll enjoy those books. Let us know what you think. I'm Risa Williams, and we're out of time for today. Thanks for listening.